Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Spirit Alive Network, God's great love for us. Tonight we're going to be discussing the need to communicate with God and our heavenly prayer language. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. I would like for Pastor Vanessa to open us with a word of prayer if she is on the line right now. And then
yes, I am.
We will have a song of praise. Woman of God, it's all you.
Yes, I'm Father God. We thank you right now for this time, and to get closer to you, and to be united with one another, as we are open to you, Lord, and as you speak to our hearts about how to communicate with you and be more effective in our walk with you, in our walk with others, and our walk with ourselves, and how we deal with ourselves. We thank you, Lord, for this divine opportunity. We thank you for just having peace, and that the people just prepare their hearts to hear you at a level where they can be receptive, and that we're not leaning to our own understanding, and that we're patient in what we understand, and that we are diligent students. So we just thank you, Lord, that we have an ear to hear, and we open to your spirit. We thank you for peace and equipping us both, Lord, to speak your will and your purpose without worry, doubt, or fear, and to be courageous. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Derek Holy.
If my people who are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their
Hallelujah.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network, God's Great Love for Us. Tonight we're going to be discussing learning to communicate with God in your heavenly prayer language at all times and why this is important. Now, the reason it's important for us to learn to communicate with God as often as possible in our heavenly prayer language is so that we can learn to live in the spiritual realm continuously. And what you're going to find is that we were born understanding and knowing how to respond in the carnal realm. No one has to teach us how to lie. No one has to teach us how to cry. No one has to teach us how to complain. None of these things do we have to learn. But when we mature as people, and when we come to a relationship with God by making his son Jesus Christ our master and Lord, then we learn to become spiritual beings. We learn to focus on the things of the Spirit. And the things of the Spirit are always contending against the things of the flesh for the attention of our soul. Our soul is really the prize to be won. Our soul is the ultimate thing of value that is being pulled at by our flesh and by our spirit. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And the more that we allow our flesh to become the focus of our mind, will, and emotions, our soul, the more we will be drawn downward into the carnal realm. But the more that we attach our soul, our mind, will, and emotions to our spirit by prayer, by fasting, by fellowshipping with like-minded believers, then we're going to be pulled up toward God. We're going to be pulled up toward that spiritual dimension, that spiritual reality that sets us and makes us free, not just sets us free, but makes us free. And what we're going to find is when we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and where that place is through the blood of Christ before the throne of God, so that Christ is behind us, the throne of God is before us, and we are speaking in our heavenly prayer language in the midst of that secret place in which nothing can get to. Nothing can take us from that place of peace and security through the blood of Christ, with Christ behind us and before the throne of God, with God before us, so that we can receive God's grace, which is his unmerited favor, all the great things we get from God that we don't deserve. And his grace is also his enabling power to do whatever he has given us to do. And we're also there to receive his mercy, which is that forgiveness, that release of the judgment that we do deserve, that we did not receive. And so when we are basically recommissioned, re-empowered, and sent out into the world to do the things of God, God is reminding us that it's him who dwells within us through his spirit, along with his son, Jesus Christ, as we are out in the world reconciling the world back to him. See, in the scripture, it says, those who believe will perform signs, miracles, and wonders in the name of Jesus Christ. And when you believe, there are things that you are going to do in order to manifest that belief. There are going to be things that God has allowed you to do so that you know who you are in Christ, so that when you are in a place of confusion. Confusion all around you. But you're not confused. You're focused. You know how to reach up into the secret place of the Most High and dwell in that place that allows you to stay still while everyone else is in chaos. And see, God is going to tell us some things tonight in His Word that we're really going to need to embrace, because He is very clear. He's very specific. And I'm going to go past 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tonight, because we know everything it says about love and how our motivation for everything we do should be love. And anything that we do without love is not profitable and is a waste of time. And we know that. But now I'm going to focus on 1 Corinthians chapter 14, because it's speaking about prophecy and tongues here in the beginning part of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm going to read verse 1 real quick, and I'm going to stop right there for a minute. It says, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." Now, I'm going to point something out here real quick that I think is going to bless you. This says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, the thing I love about the King James Version is when they add words, they put them in italics. That is the funny writing where they take the letters and they slant them, and they'll make them sometimes a little thinner or fancier than the words that are actually in the text. And what this tells you is that they added the word. So what's important about this is if you were studying this verse and you went to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 in your concordance, and you went looking for the Greek word for gifts, it's not there. It says pursue love and desire spiritual, it would be matters, spiritual things, right? But especially that you may prophesy. Now, what's important about this is that so many people believe that the operations of the Holy Spirit are gifts. They are talents. They are abilities. And yes, they are abilities. But no, they are not gifts. The word gifts has been added here erroneously in order to make the language work for whoever was translating this. But it's not in the original text. The idea here is that we are to desire spiritual things, but especially to desire the spiritual thing of prophesying. Now, this is important because the gift is the Holy Spirit. All of us who are saved have the gift of the Holy Spirit within us. The Holy Spirit allows God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. And the manifestations of that gift of the Holy Spirit within us are speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and gifts of healing. Now, when we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, that gift has those nine operations or nine manifestations of that spirit, of that gift within us. We have the ability to perform all those things. So now it would be much like your cell phone. Your cell phone, we call it a phone, but it's really more of a mini computer. On my cell phone, I can check my email. I can get on Facebook. I can be on the phone. I can send texts. I can take pictures. I can do AutoCAD on my phone, actually. Now, the thing is, it's still a phone, right? We call it a phone. But it's really a mini computer. But the thing I want to point out is that this phone, this, if I called the phone the Holy Spirit, this one device has many operations. just as the Holy Spirit, which is the gift, it is one device. It has many operations, and those many operations are speaking in tongues, interpretation tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, gifts of healing. Now, this says, pursue love and desire spiritual matters, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, this is why he says this. Look at what it says in verse 2. It says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. So this says that the person who speaks in tongues isn't speaking to men. You're speaking to God. Well, isn't that the essence of every relationship, communication? And so who do you know that doesn't want to speak to God? And why would speaking to God be so controversial? Well, it's controversial because it's not taught. And it's not taught because people are so attached to the carnal realm. They're so attached to the emotionalism, attached to what they know church to be, that they are not seeking communication and relationship with God. Instead, what they're pursuing is tradition. And tradition is not going to put you in a place of relationship with God. It will put you in a relationship with men. But this says that when you're speaking in tongues, you're not speaking to men, but you're speaking to God, because nobody understands you, right? So really, that is intended for your communication between you and God. And then it says, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Well, who do you know that doesn't want to speak mysteries to God, right? Who doesn't want to speak to God? Well, look at what it says in verse 3. It says, and I'm going to call Pastor Vanessa in here in a minute, because this is going to get really important for her input. This says, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So you're building up yourself spiritually when you speak in tongues. Well, who do you know that doesn't want to build up themselves spiritually, right? Where God tells us in Jude to build up ourselves in our most holy faith, right? That's a commandment from God. So now if you tell people you don't have to speak in your heavenly prayer language, then you're not saying what the word is saying right here in verse 4, he who speaks in tongues edifies himself. God tells us to build ourselves up on our most holy faith by communicating with him in our heavenly prayer language. But we know that we're not speaking to men, but we're speaking to God. Now, why this is so important here is because so many churches have misused speaking in tongues by using it as a calling card, using it as an ID, saying that, oh, you can't be a part of our club unless you speak in tongues. And then they coerce people to fake speaking in tongues, which, you know, you can do that, but you really shouldn't do that. And if you do, it's only going to further debilitate or handicap your spiritual relationship with God, because once again, it's another obstacle. It's something that you don't believe is real, and now people have talked you into acting on your unbelief, right? So look at what it says. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. See, when we are prophesying, the idea isn't about building ourselves up. It's because we've already built ourselves up by speaking in tongues to ourselves whenever we can. That now, when we're in a believer's meeting, we can prophesy among our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we can edify, exhort, and comfort them in our known language, right? So look at what it says in verse 4. It says, he who speaks in tongues edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. And what this is very, it is also very important, because when you have unlearned people in your fellowship, in your congregation. When you speak in tongues and interpret, just like you receive the speaking in tongues from God, and you do that out loud in a corporate setting, if you do that, you have to receive the interpretation from God just as you receive the tongues, and you don't understand the tongues any more than you know what the interpretation of the tongues are until you speak it forth. That's how it works. God, who is Spirit, speaking to the Holy Spirit within you, and your Holy Spirit speaking to your mind's telling your mouth what to say, and you saying what the Spirit says at that moment. So when you speak in tongues, now you interpret, and just like the tongues came from the Holy Spirit, the interpretation comes from the Holy Spirit, and you're edifying the congregation of believers. The intent is that those who are unlearned can hear and believe what was said in the interpretation of tongues because they heard what was said in the tongue that they did not understand because it was then interpreted, right? So now it says, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues because he's edifying everybody, unless he indeed interprets that the church may receive edification. So the intent behind all manifestations is to build up the church. Individually, it builds you up when you're speaking in your heavenly prayer language, when you're speaking in tongues. But corporately, when we speak in tongues and interpret, and when we prophesy, we're building up the body of believers in that meeting corporately. So, Pastor Carver, what do you have to say about all this, woman of God?
Can you hear me? Okay. Can you
yes,
hear
ma'am.
Me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
I think it's very, very important, this topic is, because we want to use everything that pertains to life and godliness, everything that God has given us. We don't want anything to be untapped, and we don't want to be talked out of these elements that God gives us, these skills that God gives us to be able to be effective in our prayer, in our relationship, in our prayer life, and in our relationship with others in Him. One of the things that, as you let the word speak for itself, the edification, exhortation, and comfort as it pertains to prophesying, and that's one of the manifestations of speaking in tongues. When you think about just edifying, that means to lift up, to rise up, to comfort, and to exhort and to encourage someone in tongues. And in a collective environment where the body of Christ, that is so important, and that's why Paul was encouraging them or teaching them how important it is to speak in tongues, to do those three things in the body of Christ. For ourselves personally, one of the things that I realized, like you mentioned about relationship and being able to communicate, it really gets to the heart of things when you start learning about the purposes of speaking in tongues. And, you know, some people are curious, some people don't know, they're learning, and when it points to the word, but when you learn, and you hear, and you still don't exercise or wish to, or not wish to, but have faith enough to believe to speak in tongues, then you have to start questioning where you want your level of relationship to be. We want to do all these things for the Lord. And sometimes when it gets to the motive of the heart, He'll start addressing those things. Tongues is so important in intercession. It's so important when we pray for each other, when we lay hands on each other, when we're praying for signs, miracles, and wonders. And many times our relationship with the Lord is on, it has to be in a good, strong place. And it is predicated upon our relation in our tongues, in our language, how we communicate with Him when there are no words. And it does build us up. And God knows what we need. And when He leads us to speaking in tongues in prayer, like over ourselves, for example, to build ourselves up, He knows where there's lack. He knows where there's weaknesses, where there are breaches in ourselves. And as we effectively pray for others, same thing. There's things that are generated, I would call it a well. It's like in the natural, when there's fresh water, you have to go to the well and you have to let that bucket go all the way down in the well and pull up fresh water. When I think of And that's some of the best water. Well water can be some of the best water, the freshest water. But there's work to do when you go get that water and you pull it up. And I think that's how our tongue is. It is like looking for fresh water. And so when we do that often, when we come in those settings where it's many of us, you can feel the power of God so strong because the prayers are right on point. We're praying the word. We're praying with boldness. We're praying with confidence. We declare, we proclaim. And then the level of effectiveness that we have on our job, in our families, and different things when we're not, you know, doing formal ministry, but ministry is every day. Ministry is all day, every day for those of us that are committed. And when you speak in tongues on a regular basis, it makes a difference. And when you know, okay, there was a time when I spoke in tongues all the time, and then there's a time when I want, you feel like something is missing. You don't feel plugged in. That's the best way I can describe it, is being plugged, something that's unplugged or something that's plugged in is two different states, right? Two different roles. And so when we begin to speak in tongues as part of what? Reading our word, studying our word, fasting, praying, fellowshipping with each other. Speaking in tongues is one of those things. Many times when I am lacking understanding about a scripture or something that I'm studying, it could be something even at work, I have to start speaking in tongues. And one of the things that I will be bringing up is all these different reasons why we speak in tongues and why it's so important and why you should desire to believe to speak in tongues. But you should desire with understanding, which is why we're teaching this tonight, because I feel like we don't need to be guilty of sweeping this under the rug, acting like it's not relevant anymore, and basically throwing it out. Because we're missing the whole thing. And I know that the Lord wants us to use everything that he gave us to use. And there's a reason and a purpose for it. We shouldn't be afraid of it. There's many things that Bishop Carver had mentioned that have a lot to do with old ways of seeing things and doing things. And I think it's really important that this is not a show. This is not us to compare our tongues. This is not, we all are at different levels, but we should not put it on the back burner and act like it's not relevant. And we should not use it to condemn others either. That's my point.
Amen. And you know, that is so important because see, where pride enters into all of this is when people get the idea that speaking in tongues is a gift, or that prophecy is a gift, or that tongues with interpretation is a gift, or that receiving words of knowledge is a gift, or receiving words of wisdom is a gift, or receiving discerning of spirits is a gift, or operating in miracles is a gift, or operating in supernatural faith is a gift, or performing gifts of healing is a gift. It's called gifts of healing because every time you heal someone, it is a gift to that person who is healed. But you're not gifted with healing. It's that the power of the Holy Spirit has the ability to heal, the ability to perform miracles. If you go to 1 Corinthians 14 and you read and it says the gift, you're going to see all those are in italics. They're just added, right? And so now you need to understand in your mind, rethink, retool, recalibrate, and understand that the Holy Spirit is the gift. Now, that gift gives you the power to manifest and operate the power of the Holy Spirit that allows you to speak in tongues, allows you to speak in tongues and interpret, allows you to receive to prophesy, allows you to receive word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, allows you to perform supernatural acts of faith, perform miracles, and perform gifts of healing in the lives of others, right? So that others can be edified, exhorted, comforted, right? So that you can receive supernatural knowledge from God on what to do and how to combat spiritual forces in the earth that are not greater than the power of the Holy Spirit that's within you. Remember what it says in 1 John 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that's what's so important to me, is we got to get back to the greater. And the greater is the spiritual realm being greater than the carnal realm. And I've heard people in church literally say, you're so heavenly minded that you're no spiritual, you're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good, is what they say, right? And that is such a carnal statement. It is such a telling state of mind, because if you're focused on the things of God, you have your priorities straight. Because God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and all these things, the things of the world, will be added unto you, right? So God is saying, I want you to get your relationship with me straight. Your communication, see, relationship is about communication. My wife, Pastor Carver, if I didn't talk to her for a month, I'd be in trouble. That would kill our relationship. Probably kill it if I didn't talk to her for a day. It'd be, you know, it's not good, right? Well, just imagine God, imagine what God had to go through just to make it possible for you to have the power of the Holy Spirit within you. Because for 4,000 years after Adam sinned, it was not available to be within you. It was not available. He had to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you, and to be in the stone tomb dead for 3 days and three nights before he raised him, before he seated him at his right hand, before he gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, before he sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. He had to do all that before he sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, which has only been available to us for the past 2,000 years or so, right? So that's half as long as mankind went without the Holy Spirit, or the ability to have the Holy Spirit within us. Now we have all this power in us, and we have somebody out there telling us not to use it. Don't believe the lie. See, the devil is the father of lies. That is his job. His job is to talk you out of what you already had, just like he talked Adam out of what he already had. See, Adam had the best of everything. God gave him dominion of everything. And yet, the devil came to him with a lie of more. He said, hey, you do this, you'll be like God. Don't believe the lie. Understand that the power that you have within you is real, and God gave you that power so you can use it. And now, your ability to come boldly before the throne of God allows you to speak in tongues, and Pastor Carver is going to share with you some of those things that speaking in tongues is good for. So I'm going to get out of her way and let her do that right now. Woman of God.
If Pastor Tuggle, you are unmuted, if you would like to add before I mention all the benefits of speaking in tongues, you can. Okay. I'm just going to proceed. I know you're unmuted, so if you want to speak, you definitely can. Okay. Well, I think if we get it down to why we should speak in tongues, it'll kind of help us understand the plan, God's perfect plan, and how he intended for us to use tongues. And this is all can be biblically based. I had years ago purchased a book, 70 Reasons Why We Should Speak in Tongues. And some of the things, everything that was written in this book, was some of these things were like interconnected and they seemed repetitive, but they were just showing the different levels of engagement and receptivity that we should have with God through the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. And so it was a good way for people to understand the purposes. So right now, if you don't mind, a couple of minutes, I just need to pull this up real quick. And this is a great, reference for us all You don't have to go get the book. There's just different scriptures. You can do a scriptural text study if you like, based on some of the reasons that Bishop Carver gave tonight. But one of the reasons is speaking in tongues, we're speaking directly to God, which was mentioned by Bishop Carver. He talked about that's direct communication to God, and as it pertains to how we use it when we are together as a group or for ourselves. In 1 Corinthians 14:2, it says, "For he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. And when he speaks in tongues, we're speaking mysteries." Now, these mysteries are just like I mentioned, they're invitations into the depths of God's heart and his mind, which next year, just giving everybody a preview, I will be doing several series, part one and part two, the heart of God and the mind of God, and understanding what that is. Well, this is what we also call, gave the analogy of water, fresh water in a well, but also it's realms of revelation as well. You get a lot of revelation when you speak in tongues, and these are part of the mysteries, and we begin to access this through as we pray as well. When we speak in tongues, we strengthen ourselves, because in 1 Corinthians 14:4, it says, "He who speaks in tongues edifies himself," building yourself up, strengthening yourself, giving you the ability to be strong. So many times, you know, I caught myself doing this. I'll say, "Lord, give me strength. I need strength today. I need your strength." And sometimes he'll lead me into praying in tongues. He'll say, "Just pray in tongues right now. Strengthen your inner man." And it helps all the time. A lot of times it energizes me, refreshes me, gives me clarity, especially if I am in a place where I'm bogged down or heavy or confused about something or distracted. The strength of God can come in so many ways, but when it is initiated by your tongue and you just building yourself up, you'll be able to see whatever it is that you get that you need that is a significant of strength. Strength is not always just, "Oh, I feel strong, I feel able." Sometimes it's, "I'm clearer now." Sometimes it's, "I'm at peace now." And when you begin to edify and speak in tongues, you'll see where God is saying, "This is where you need to be strong. You need to keep trusting me. You need to remember this scripture. You need to be focused." You know, when we speak in tongues, we build the capacity for God. So we are also creating more receptivity to him and more sensitivity to him, right? So I know my husband's voice. I know all my kids' voice. And that comes from relationship and always being around them and draws us closer. Praying in the Spirit widens our capacity for the life of God, and it becomes an intricate part of our life. It builds us up. It connects us to his Spirit at all times. You know that scripture that says, "Pray without ceasing"? A lot of times when you're just speaking in tongues for whatever reason, it keeps you receptive and it keeps you responsive. You know, God can be speaking to us, but a lot of times we don't always respond to him. And it's important to respond to him so that there is always open communication. And praying in Ephesians 3:16-9, it says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in your inner man. Remember how I mentioned about him strengthening my inner man when I'm in a place of asking him for strength, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It's like some people, I know we use this term a lot about a glass being half full or half empty, and they use that as an indicator to say whether a person is negative or positive. Do you look at things more on the positive side? That means you always see a glass half full. Or do you look at more things more in a pessimistic way, which means you always see the glass is half empty. So, but when we fill our lives with God and our tongues, we see things through his eyes. We see things through his perspective, and that's the most important. He is our life, and his word is our filter. And speaking in tongues basically kind of keeps that filter clean at all times. When we speak in tongues, we experience a personal transformation, which is what all these scriptures I mentioned before and what Bishop Carver has also mentioned. The Holy Spirit empowers us. We feel empowered. We feel equipped. And there are so many things competing for our attention. And because of living in a fallen world and a dark world with social media and technology and everything you can think of, we need to make sure that, you know, as we renew our mind to his word, our tongue is constantly connecting us to that ability that you said. It's not the gift, it's the abilities that he gives us through the Spirit. I like how Bishop Carver brought that out. It is about our enablement and our abilities, and that we are equipped. And don't you think that you need to know how to use what he gave you? And in Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So when we speak in tongues, we have to know that God, he has made all things new through Christ. And that newness, one of the ways that newness is realized on a daily basis is how we speak in tongues. And we get back to the prioritizing what's really important. I mean, you can wake up a certain way, and when you start just speaking in tongues, to start your day, whether it's in perfect prayer or you're focused on something the Lord has brought to your heart to pray about, you really see yourself differently and you see life differently than you did through your own natural eyes. And so tongues should be engaged all the time. This is one thing I also want to mention as well, is I used to use speaking in tongues when I got fearful, and that's not a bad thing. But what I started to realize was that it became a coping mechanism. And so every time I got afraid, I would just speak in tongues. And the Lord wanted me to know that even when fear comes, I want you to be knowledgeable about what you're praying about. Don't just do it as a coping mechanism, and then it makes you feel better. But yet, it's a spiritual thing as we speak in tongues, so don't use it as a coping mechanism. I had to unlearn that, but until I unlearned that, I did that all the time, and it made me be basically receptive to him. And then he could tell me, you know, I know you're afraid now, but I want you to pray and speak in tongues with understanding. And so it became an empowerment instead of a coping mechanism, you see. And a lot of times when we're in church, whether it's in praise or worship, a lot of times we may be at the place, safe place to go. It's in Christ, it's, you know, through God. But you have to understand that God wants us to be knowledgeable about everything that we do that he tells us to use, not being over emotional. And there are 20 reasons why speaking in tongues is so important. Tongues were the visible proof that the disciples received the Holy Spirit. Tongues were the sign that Christ's church had been born to the Jew and the Gentile. Speaking in tongues is what convinced both Peter and the church and the apostles that the Gentiles are saved and can be saved. So all these Acts 2, Acts 11, speaking in tongues has a vital part of the Apostle Paul's life and his teachings. Speaking in tongues is tied to the Gospel of Mark, and it has to do with the Great Commission. Speaking in tongues is a supernatural language given by God to believers. Thus, it is the language of God's Spirit and his kingdom. Remember how he told us how to pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Speaking in tongues is a vital part of that. Speaking in tongues gives us spirit-to-spirit communication. Speaking in tongues also helps us discern, or it cultivates our discerning so we'll know good from evil. And people don't understand that. It's, you're being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, but you also become very sensitive to other things in the spirit realm when you speak in tongues. So speaking in tongues tames the tongue. And in James, it says that James 3, verses 1 through 12 says, in the most unruly body member, which is our tongue, remember? So when you start speaking in tongues, if you find yourself, you know, not being able to control your mouth or not putting a gate over your mouth, just start speaking in tongues that you utilize more readily the spirit of self-control, which is an enablement of the spirit. And so speaking in tongues and taming that tongue, taming your mouth, is one of the ways that you start to put a guard over your mouth. My husband, I think, uses this a lot when he says when he is either being berated or he's in a very tenseful situation where somebody's going off on him. Whether we are in an argument and in times past, he has said that sometimes he'll just have to start speaking in tongues to himself so that, first of all, he won't say anything negative and so that he'll be at peace. And so praying in tongues can sometimes get you in a place where you're centered on, okay, Holy Spirit, I know you're here. What do I say? What don't I say? And it keeps you in a place of safety and peace. It releases like extreme, miraculous intercession for people. that we know those and those we don't. Even you can pray for somebody you don't know when you begin to speak in tongues. You don't have to know the situation, because from there God will give you the spirit of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. Speaking in tongues is the number one way that we strengthen ourselves, like I mentioned before. Praying in tongues is governmental. Governmental prayers comes from the place of the spirit, and it accesses the heart of God. And you can really, so say you speak in tongues, you've had a session where you're just speaking in tongues because of some things God has laid on your heart, and you begin to journal. I've done that many times. I speak in tongues, and then I listen to what the interpretation of the tongues is, or the gist or the theme of what God is saying to me. It is a part of our spiritual armor, and it brings our spirit into unity with his purposes. If you get off track for whatever reason, first and foremost, read your word, but also speak in tongues. Praying in the spirit, it helps us to renew our mind, and it builds the interior life of the believer. There's a lot of stuff going on the inside, and when we speak in tongues, it addresses every one of those issues, but it doesn't keep it you're not, and it's a mystery to you. God will show you, the Holy Spirit will show you what's going on inside of you. So this is just the beginning of some of the things that I wanted to share. And with every one of these points, I didn't say all 20 of them, but they all have scripture with them. And I just challenge you to, if this is an area where you want to have more fruitful understanding, to get in this place where you begin to study the word for yourself and start using this as a part of your life, and believe that it will change your life, because it will.
Amen, Pastor Carver. And I want to get into this next piece that it speaks of in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 regarding how tongues must be interpreted when you're in a corporate body of believers, when you're in the church, when it's not just you and God. If you're speaking in tongues, you must interpret so that the body can be edified. So look at what it says in verse 6. I'll be reading from verse 6 all the way down to verse 19. And I want you to just listen to what's being said, because it's very telling. It says, "But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction of in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle?" Right? You know that sound that you've heard? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know what that means, right? Well, if the trumpet just goes, you don't know what that means, right? But when you hear, charge, right? This says, "For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual matters," here's that word gifts again, "let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel." So once again, this is speaking to our heart. If you're zealous for spiritual matters, spiritual things, be zealous for those spiritual things for the purpose of building up the church so that you can excel in edifying the church. You can excel in building up the church. That's what it means. Look what it says here in verse 13. "Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret." See, it didn't say, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that someone else may interpret for him. No, it says, "Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret." So the one who speaks in the tongue interprets the tongue, because just like the tongue comes from the spirit to his mind, to his mouth, and he speaks, the same way the interpretation comes from the spirit to his mind, then he speaks. And once again, it's coming from the Holy Spirit. We are allowing ourselves to access the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can receive words of edification, exhortation, and comfort for the body of believers. That's why we are to pray, believe, that we may be able to interpret what we have just spoken in a tongue. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. I'm going to stop there real quick, because that's something that's not too common for people to understand. And for me, it wasn't something that I had experienced on a regular basis until maybe 3 or 5 years ago, where I was in my car on my way to work, and I'd find myself receiving a melody in addition to the tongues, and I was singing in tongues, and it was just me and God, right? And it was amazing, because I'm not a musical person. I gave up music as a part of my teenage rebellion and when I was 13, because everybody in my family was in music, and so music wasn't special to me. And so I said my form of rebellion as a teenager is I'm not going to have anything to do with music anymore. And it lasted, but it didn't last. But at the same time, I'm not a musical person necessarily. And yet, when I started hearing these songs from God, and I was singing in tongues, and it was just between me and God, right? So it says, if I pray in a tongue, right? It says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks? Since he does not understand what you say, for you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified, right? I thank God. I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than you all, Paul says. Yet in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. See, the idea isn't that tongues is less. The idea is that Paul spoke in tongues at all times more than any of his contemporaries, and therefore the power that he had when he would speak his 5 words with his understanding would edify many, because they would be spoken in knowledge and wisdom out of the Spirit to have the effect of God's intended purpose, right? So that he could teach others also. And speaking in tongues would do nothing more than build him up. But he had already did that, because he said, hey, I speak in tongues more than all of you. So Pastor Carver, did you have any last thoughts before I get into this last, we got a couple more sections here. So Pastor Carver, is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, I do not. You're good.
Okay. I'm going to go into the rest of this now. It says, tongues is a sign to unbelievers. Verse 20 says, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, and yet for all that, they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore, tongues are a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. See, and I'm going to stop here for a minute. Tongues are a sign, not for those who believe, but to unbelievers. Now, here is the issue. The issue is that some churches have made tongues a sign, that they made their culture, their church culture says that to be a member of our church, we have to see you, hear you, speak in tongues, after you are baptized in water. Not only is this a great deal of pressure for the person being baptized, and the baptism itself has no direct connection to speaking in tongues, as we see many different combinations of orders in which people were baptized and which people spoke in tongues in the book of Acts. You can read the book of Acts and see it for yourself. Don't just believe me because I said it. But what you're going to see here is they put this fear and bondage into people by trying to make tongues a sign to believers that other believers are saved. And that's nonsense. That is where fear enters in. Fear has torment and keeps more people from getting baptized and receiving the Holy Spirit in the manifestation than this teaching of what the word actually says tongues are for. It's a sign to those who do not believe so that they can see that it is possible for them to enter into the spiritual dimension of relationship with God, who is spirit. So it says, but prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. What's that mean? What that means is if I'm in a body of believers and the uninformed are among us, there are people who are not yet saved in our midst, then instead of bringing forth a word of prophecy, I will speak in tongues and interpret so that they can understand that the words that are being spoken from the Spirit and not from me, right? But if I'm in a body of believers and everybody is fully instructed and everybody's saved, then we can all prophesy because we know that what is being said is being spoken from the Spirit in the words of edification, exhortation, and comfort from God. And prophesying is not for the unbelievers, but for those who believe. That's what that means. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, I've seen that before, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all. He is convicted by all. And so it says in verse 25, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. See, you are supposed to desire the power of God to be manifested in our corporate assemblies so that it convinces and convicts the unbelievers and the uninformed when they are in our midst. And see, we have allowed ourselves to become the uninformed and become the unbelievers as it pertains to the things of the Spirit relating to the operation of the manifestations of the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the truth. Now look at what it says about order in our church meetings, because see, this is another place where the chaos comes in. And we know that God is not a God of confusion, but decency and orderliness, right? So look at what it says. It says about order in our church meetings, verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for the edification, for edification. Let all things be done for edification. Whatever is done in our corporate assemblies, let it be done for the building up of the church. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at least, or at the most three in turn, and let one interpret. So let each speak in tongues and interpret one at a time, but let it be at least two and no more than three, right? There you go. Very specific instruction there. And then verse 28 says, but if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. So if someone does not believe to speak in tongues and interpret, let him be quiet. Let no one speak in tongues unless they believe to interpret in the body of believers. Verse 29, Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So I just want you to really consider the things that God is saying tonight. And I want you to believe to increase your level of relationship with God by speaking in your heavenly prayer language, singing in your heavenly prayer language, praying in your understanding, and singing in your understanding in your private prayer life between you and God. So I'm going to ask Pastor Carver to end with a word of prayer, and then we're going to have a song of praise. Pastor Carver?
I'm here. Okay. Father God, I just thank you tonight. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Father God, I just thank you tonight for your presence. We thank you, Lord, today that we were able to speak your word and just encourage people in love to speak in tongues and to engage with you, to communicate with you, Lord. This, above all things, is to bring you glory, to make us more effective, Lord, to remind us who we are and whose we are, who we belong to. I thank you, Lord, today for strength, power, and peace. I thank you for your protection over all of our lives, Lord, today. And Lord, as we go forth, maybe we have a prayer list. Maybe we have some things that are on our hearts to bring before you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, today that we be encouraged, but also be challenged by the word, Lord, to go to new levels in you by speaking in tongues and believing to interpret and believing to be more receptive to you and more responsive. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network, God's great love for us, be ye transformed.
for increase. Increase, increase, increase. Increase, increase. Just touch two people, say increase. Increase, touch somebody, say increase, increase, increase.
Look at somebody say, operate in your grace. If you operate in your grace, it'll make you prosperous.
God has graced
you to be you.
Everybody is struggling for their lives. The stressed, the depressed. But with the power invested in me, I came to speak life over you. I speak blessings of health, blessings of peace. To my brothers and sisters all around the world, especially those in South Africa, struggling with AIDS, in Brazil, the States.
I speak life, you're gonna live. Oh, my brother, my sister, I speak life. You are the head and not the tail. You will prevail. I speak life. Don't give up.
Lose another person to a senseless death, substance abuse, gang violence, suicide because of low self-esteem. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Speak life over yourself and those you love.